Morning. This morning, God knocked a light out of the ceiling. I mean that. And I'll explain what that means. Last night, I was up working on practicing sermon and whatnot till pushing midnight, about 11:40 or so. I had a sermon here that I wrote that has got some entertaining things in it. I cite three movies in it. I've got a scene from Forrest Gump that I memorized and was going to quote to you. Well, I'm about to freak the guys upstairs out. You can give you a couple minutes warning. Matthew 25. This past week, Wednesday night, taught out of Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, and we've been trying to accelerate the pace of Wednesday nights because sometimes we only get through about four verses, and we've been working on the Gospels for 2 years now. And I was trying to get us to the point where we could get through a little bit more. And we went through Matthew 25 this past week, and we discussed it, and we talked about some things in it. But this morning, God made it clear to me that He's not done with Matthew 25 because He knocked a light out of the ceiling. Now, that sounds weird, and I don't want you to think I'm getting all charismatic or whatnot on you, but today has been a weird day. Today, I came in, was getting ready to do church. And if you've never been in ministry or in as somebody leading stuff in church, if you come to church and attend and worship and go home, then you don't understand that church, especially for preachers and preachers' families and elders and deacons, can be a little bit stressful on Sunday mornings trying to make sure things work right. Things like not having the lights hanging out of the ceiling. And I came in, and one of the lights in the hallway didn't turn on. And I know that it's a little loose. It's got a little loose connection. I've been meaning to get to it. So I jumped up and tapped on it. Well, guess what? It fell out of the ceiling. And I was like, great. Just what I need Sunday morning. And back in the hallway, it's just hanging out of the ceiling. So I get a stool and I'm trying to fix it, and it falls out even more. And I'm trying to hold it up while I'm trying to screw it back in, and it's not working. And Cody says, hey, do you need some help? I'm like, yes, I need some help. Go get a ladder. So Cody goes off to get a ladder. And we get the light put back up into the ceiling. I literally have the screwdrivers in my hand. And I'm walking back to put them away. And, Gary and I are having a conversation about the strange stuff happens on Sunday mornings because the devil's trying to interrupt church. I don't think that was the case this morning, although I do believe that that happens. Put the screwdrivers away. I'm walking back to my office because I haven't had breakfast yet. And I've got some muffins sitting in there that my wife has made. And somebody says to me something about somebody out there with a bicycle. And I knew that some kids had been out in the parking lot and left a bicycle laying in the parking lot. And so I thought, you know what? I got too many things to do right now and to worry about that there's a kid out there getting his bicycle. And then the phone in my office rings. At the back door, there's a buzzer. And it's from the back door buzzing in. I answer it. It wasn't a kid on a bicycle. It was a homeless guy on a bicycle. And he asks, do you have a cup of coffee, something to eat, and maybe a change of clothes? And I said, well, I got a cup of coffee. He doesn't want to come in because he's kind of dirty. So went out there and we're arranging to get him a cup of coffee, and he doesn't want to come in. And I went I'm going back and forth, different things, and I'm going to my office, and I thought, well, gee, I wish I'd have drove my other car because I keep a change of clothes in there. And don't think that I'm getting all Pentecostal on you. But a thought jumps into my head. It says, you got plenty of clothes. And the thought comes to my mind. John 3. Turn to John 3. I think. Am I in the right place? I've lost my place. No, I'm sorry. Luke 3. Luke 3. Verse 11. John the Baptist. John 3:11 says, well, go back to verse 10. What should we do then? The crowd asked. John answered, the man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. I'm walking out there, and I'm grumbling in my mind about I got too many things going on. I'm trying to do church. And I walk out there and bring this guy, I think somebody else already brought him a cup of coffee, and I just walked out there and he had a zip-up hoodie on, but he didn't have a shirt. And I'm walking out there and this thought occurs to me, you got two shirts on. Give him one. And you know what my mind said? Don't be stupid, I can't preach in my undershirt. There wasn't really any answer to that other than, because I don't take hints, okay? Ask my wife. I don't take hints. I need to be hinted to with a 2x4. I said to the guy, what size shirt do you wear? Extra large. Well, guess what I'm wearing? Extra large. So I took off my shirt and I gave it to the guy. And he's like, no, don't. But then I noticed he's kind of dirty. And he's probably pretty hungry. So I said, why don't you come inside and you can change in the back bathroom where you can shut the door and it'll be private. We got him a washcloth and a cup of coffee and a donut and some bacon. He said, I got to go get some hydrogen peroxide because I've got this cut. And I said, well, we've got some hydrogen peroxide. And so I go in where the first aid kit is and I grab the hydrogen peroxide. And I take it back to the guy, and I said, do you need a bandage or something? He's like, well, you know, maybe. And I go back, and I grab the first aid kit. And I literally have the first aid kit in my hand. When another guy bursts in through the back door with blood all over his face, he's got bruises and contusions all over, and I think his nose is broken, and he says he's just been attacked and beat up. And he's bloody, and he's looking for help. And in my hand, there's a first aid kit. I said, well, let's go get you fixed up. Go to Matthew 25, if you would. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 through the end of the chapter. I don't take hints real well, but you know what? I can pick up on some things. And I was driving home after all this to get a different shirt on, and it finally occurs to me, oh God, that's you talking! When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry or feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. I want to clarify something. I didn't receive any direct revelations this morning. I didn't have a prophetic announcement to me, but I truly believe that the Holy Spirit knocked on my head and just reminded me of Luke 3:11. I already knew those words. Those were already internalized into me because I know His Scripture. But sometimes God needs to give us a little wake-up call as to how to apply Scripture. Somebody said to me this morning, do we have clothes that we keep here at the church? I said, no, we don't have any. We have a food pantry that we sometimes help people out with, but we don't have any clothing here to help people with. On my way home, driving home just before the light came on, I thought, wow, this is strange ministry in the rough neighborhood. You know, you got people getting beat up. You got homeless people stopping in. God's people. And they looked to the church as a place of They looked to the church as to where to go. Now, there's some conflicting reports as to what happened with this guy that got beat up. I don't know if he's a good guy or a bad guy. I know he was beat up. I know he was bloody and bruised and needed help. And both of them came looking to the church for help. And 90 seconds earlier, I was taken care of screwing a light back into the ceiling. And I think that that was part of God's 2x4 to my forehead. Because sometimes in the church, we get too busy worrying about doing church. And we forget about doing ministry. Now, I didn't want a light hanging out of the ceiling because if a first-time visitor came in or even y'all came in and saw a light hanging down out of the roof, you'd be going, what's up with that? Why they got lights hanging down out of the ceiling here? And my mind was all tied up with, got to do church, got to make sure things are right, got to screw the thing back in. And I'm thinking, why is this thing falling out of the ceiling right now? It's Sunday morning, I don't need this hassle. But I think the one was related to the other. I think God said, you're too busy doing church. I need to remind you about ministry. I don't know if crazy stuff like this has always been happening around here, but since I've been here, there's been a few crazy Sunday mornings. Maybe I just brought the crazy with me. But God says plain and simple in His Word to you and I that there is ministry to be done. That doesn't mean we let the building fall down. The walls still need painted. The lights still need screwed in. But that's secondary. We need to make sure that we're keeping our minds on praising God and serving people. Ministry, not church. But we do come here to study His Word because you know what? If I had never read Luke 3:11, how would the thought have come to my head that is contained in Luke 3:11? We study His Word. We pray to God. We praise Him together in song and prayer. And we do ministry. I would like us to clear off a section of the shelving back there in the back pantry. I think we can condense some things over. And I would like for us to have some clothing here. I would like for us to have some hygienic things here. Because you know what? We are kind of in a rough neighborhood. And it's not the first time homeless people have come here on a Sunday morning looking for help. And it's certainly not the first time they've come here during the week. And I think we should say, hey, maybe God's trying to get our attention. Let's focus on doing some ministry. I don't know if I'll ever preach that sermon over there. I didn't really care for it that much. God gave me, I think, a better one that was more applicable for this morning. I don't know if I'm way short. We're going to get out of here a little early. But this is what God put on my heart an hour ago. So let's do ministry. Please stand and sing.